You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, where we bring you the best of Israeli sports all the way up north, Nahariya, down south, Eilat, and all the great cities in between, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, Rishon LeZion, Holon, and many, many more. And of course, if you like this program, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you find your podcast. Leave us a five-star rating, write a nice review. It really helps us out a lot. Check us out at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com. For the latest and greatest news in Israeli sports, we bring it to you in both languages, in Hebrew and in English. We are the only website in Israel that brings you it in both languages. Make sure you check us out. And of course, today, the end of the week show, we bring on Roei Shalom. We'll be talking Israel soccer. And of course, the under-19s take on England this evening in Slovakia as they look to win Israel's title for Israel that would only have been a dream just years ago, the under-19 Euros. They've already punched their tickets to the under-20 World Cup in Indonesia next year. That's been done. It's a great generation of players. We'll talk all about them. We'll bring you also all the latest news in the transfer market. Maccabi Tel Aviv, Aron Zahavi, Nir Biton. We'll also talk about Shai Elias's move to Be'er Sheva. Maccabi Haifa getting hot with their signings. All kinds of stuff going on there. Then we'll shift over to the basketball scene. We'll talk about the Israel national team falling to Poland in World Cup qualifying. We'll also discuss some of the latest moves and grooves by Maccabi Tel Aviv as they start rebuilding their roster. But without further ado, let's bring on Roei Shalom to start talking and schmoozing some good Israeli sports. It is an honor and a pleasure for the Sports Rabbi to welcome you on board. Mr. Shalom, how are you today?
Wow, I'm excited. That's just my feelings right now. We're recording this on Friday morning and we're just like less than 12 hours away from the game. And I feel like this is one of those games of like, my team is playing in the Super Bowl. I'll just give it like that. And I'm just waiting for the game to start. It's that type of excitement, like to give you guys a clue and girls a clue of the feelings right here, and the hype here in Israel is just crazy around it. What some 19-year-old, 18-year-old kids, 17-year-old kids can really do to a nation is just, it's crazy and really, really fun to watch. And I even, you know, tried and looked about going there for just the game and coming back. In the end, it didn't happen. But, you know, when there's a ticket for €3, you know, it tells you, you have to go, you have to go, you have to go. But unfortunately, the flights weren't there for me. So probably I'll have to wait next time for Israel to get to this type of stage, if it will ever happen earth. But I'll be waiting for that moment, and I won't miss it for sure.
So tonight, 9 o'clock Friday night, Israel takes on England, one of the great footballing nations in the world, for the title European champion, the under-19, 2022. This is obviously going to be a tough game. Israel fell to England 1-0 the last time they played. I would not take very much into account from that game. I think Israel just really had to, you know, make sure they didn't lose by X amount of goals to make sure they punched their ticket to the 2023 World Cup. And that was really the goal of that game, not to get anybody hurt. If we win, great. If we don't, we have our spot in the semifinal. We've got to make sure we just get through. That's what they did. I think tonight you're going to see a totally different game. You'll see Israel attacking. I think you're going to see Ofer Chaim, you know, pulling out all the stops. I think I don't think he's going to try to play some kind of defensive game here. He has the guys to run with, if it's Oscar Gluch. And I know his father was on TV last night talking about the the championship. He is there. A lot of the families are there. Ariel Lugassi. These guys are going to be playing at full, you know, full guns blazing. And on top of that, there are tons of scouts that are going to be at this game. And you're talking about scouts from Syria and from the German Bundesliga and from England. And apparently Gareth Southgate's going to be speaking to the England team before the game itself. Of course, Gareth Southgate, the manager of the senior national team. But it's exciting. You have seven players from Maccabi Tel Aviv. I believe seven from Hapoel Tel Aviv as well. You have a ton of players. If it's Roy Revivo or Israelov, if you have... Elyam Kanaspolsky, who's been great, Eli Madmon from Beersheba, Ty Abed from PSV, Ahmed Salman from Hapoel Yerushalayim, Hapoel Jerusalem. You have a lot of players over here. And we did, if people want to listen to more in depth about this team, first of all, last week we did a podcast, which I'll link into this post. And just click that. There's a 30-minute podcast all about the players and what they bring to the table and who they are. We also did a live room after the space after the game against France that saw them win 2-1 to go into the final. I'll put a link to that as well, so you can check that out also. So we'll give you more of a sense of what's happened. But we're excited, Roy Shalom. I don't know how much you want to go into it, but you know, if you want to have the final word, then we'll just move on to some of the other issues at hand with transfers.
Yeah, you know, just about the players. You know, there's nothing to say. I'm sure they will be, as you said, just blazing out there and just really giving their all. You know, this is, they understand how big of a deal this is. You know, for England, it's just like, okay, it's another finals for us.
Well, I don't know. I'm not so sure about that.
No. These under 19 sure, kids, like they
want
excited.
These kids want to win. No, if you're an 18, 19 year old, they all want to win. They all want to win.
Of course.
They also
of course.
There's a certain generational. They'll always be looked at, England or Israel. They'll always be looked at as having won this tournament. I mean, but for Israel, this is like, if they win this tournament, this is like, they will be a looked at as generational talents. They will be looked at as these heroes that will be spoken about for the next, you know, century, really.
Yeah. And you know, Ofir Chaim talked about it after the game against France, that it's pretty much, you know, he talked about to the players the David against Goliath story, you know, from the Bible. And it's a bit like that, you know, especially against France, which they were huge. Like every player was... they looked like men against boys.
They looked like this. It was so funny when they stepped up to shake hands before the game. French guy was like three times the size of the Israeli player.
Yeah,
like,
it was crazy. it was crazy. But, you know, just to go and see those, you know, these kids play. I don't want to say it one last time because it pretty much feels like it, you know, in this last game, the last game of this tournament. And yes, we'll be seeing them in the Mundialito as well in Indonesia. But, you know, it's the end of the story. You know, it's been a beautiful story. It's been really like this amazing thing that I don't want it even to end, I'll be honest. Win or loss, you know, for me, just the having the whole story around it, the whole, you know, hype, and we're getting to know them. You know, if they would have finished in the, you know, in the group stages, we wouldn't have known, gone into them in depth as much as we've done, you know, the past week or week and a half or so. And, you know, that's a part of, you know, the beauty of reaching to a stage that, you know, your country is just not used to. Mm-hmm. And giving these kids an incredible stage. And, you know, in Israel, we're talking right now about, you know, Israeli coaches finally give these kids, you know, a chance early on in their career? Because when we have players here at the age of 22 or 21, they're still called kids. So is this the time that, you know, the Israeli soccer will really like develop and really change the mindset of, you know, let's give a 17-year-old that is a kid, right, is still a teenager, you know, the chance. And then the 20-year-olds won't be called kids anymore, because, you know, it's just it will be a part of the nature of letting 17 and 18-year-old kids sit to play here.
You know, that was a very good point that Guy Kopaczynski made on our space, that the Israeli coaches, and I spoke about this actually in an interview that I did with The Athletic yesterday about Manor Solomon, we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. We spoke about, like, is he going to be like the leader of this generation? The truth is yes. But we, you know, it was just interesting. I mentioned to him that, you know, in England or in other countries, you see these players playing at a much younger age, and the Israeli coaches are afraid. I think Guy Kopaczynski made a great point about this. Israeli coaches are afraid to take chances on these younger players. Now, why is that? I think some of it is they don't want to take chances with the younger players. And I also think some of it is that they need to play the veteran players because of relationships that they have either with agents or the players themselves. And I think there's a lot of backroom work going on. From Israeli, you know, Israeli coaches to Israeli players. And I think that that definitely plays a factor here. As much as it sounds to be so cynical, Roei Shalom, and maybe I am being cynical, but I do believe that that definitely plays a factor. You know, I looked up some of the younger players. Manor Solomon, you know, he had appearances for Maccabi Petah Tikva, but it wasn't like he was never a leading player for Maccabi Petah Tikva. I mean, he got his chances, which was good. But you see a lot of, you know, I think the only team really last year that really gave chances, other than Vladan Krstajic, who brought in Oscar Golovin and played him in those games, those big games, was Hapoel Tel Aviv. That was the only real team that really, really, really gave the youngsters a real chance to play. And that's a good on Kobi Rafua for allowing that to happen. But I think that there's a lot of, you know, backroom dealings that perhaps keep some of these younger players out of the lineup.
And we're talking about it that Israel should be a development type league. And not,
yes.
You know, and not a final destination type league. So that is something to monitor. And, you know, we're going to talk about just in a bit about the transfer window and, you know, seeing these teams get, you know, better and better with the new signees. But I feel like the Israeli league, I don't know if it's a lot has to do with these Euros as well, but I feel like that there's something changing in the Israeli league. I also said it last year. I think the level of play is better, is getting better from year to year. And, you know, if these kids play and we will see deals to Europe, you know, and we've seen it start with Manol Solomon, and we've seen it with the Elabada, and, you know, we're hearing about Oscar Gloch, you know, being 15 teams being interested in him, and Maccabi's price tag is between 7 to 10 million euros, you know, and if we see them more and more, you know, players, young players as well, will want to come here. You know, we were seeing Maccabi Tel Aviv bring in players every single year the past couple of years, like young talented players to play for their youth department and then try to develop them. The latest one is Parfait Gagan that, you know, went to Netanya, but and it's coming back now to Maccabi Tel Aviv. But, you know, these are the type of players that you're like, okay, he might be, you know, a good player in Europe in a couple of years, and he's now 18, and, you know, let's take advantage of it and see, you know, these players come from, you know, Africa and Europe and all of that, and really see them develop here and take the next step the same way Rajkovic was here. So maybe we're starting to see a new thing in the Israeli league, and that is something to watch, because if that's the case, this is going to be amazing and will really, really help. And again, we're going to enjoy it every single week because we're going to see very talented players play on the pitch every Saturday.
No, for sure. So let's shift over now to the Israeli league signings. Eran Zahavi joins Maccabi Tel Aviv. Nir Biton joins Maccabi Tel Aviv. Maccabi Tel Aviv obviously making the big splash right now. We'll get into the other teams as well. But listen, the bottom line, Eran Zahavi, going to sell tickets, going to put fannies in the seats, is still going to be a top talent without a question. You know, as long as he stays healthy, I'm sure he will continue his scoring prowess. And I'm sure that Vladimirovich is very happy to have him on board. He's also probably very happy to have a guy like Nir Bitton, who's played for Celtic for so many years. He's playing internationally and abroad for almost really a decade, brings in a ton of experience. And he's also very, you know, flexible. And you know, you can move him, you can play him in the midfield, you can play him in attacking midfield, you can play in defensive midfield, you can play him as a center back. You have a lot of places where Nir Bitton can fit in. And that's really good news for Maccabi Tel Aviv and Vladimirovich.
Yeah, so think about it. You know, Nir Bitton is coming back at the age of 30 to Israel. And you know, Nir Bitton as well, you know, there's something with Eran Zahavi coming back, which, you know, led to Bitton also coming in and signing faster, because they were already in, it seemed like they were already in negotiations, Maccabi Tel Aviv and Nir Bitton. But it seems like that the second Zahavi signed, you know, the pen, Nir Bitton's pen went faster.
Yeah, of course.
due to that.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
Right,
how can you blame him?
Let's talk about it. A player, okay, he might be 35, but he was one of the better players for PSV, which they won the Dutch Cup, you know, and it has been one of the top Israelis, you know, ever to play it or score it. I'll say it also like that. And Nir Bitton, at the age of 30, after so many years in Celtic, a player that is, you know, on the verge of starting every single game, is coming to Maccabi Tel Aviv. Now, you're saying, okay, that you know, it's something that we didn't see that, you know, a couple of years back. You know, he would have stayed another 2 years in Europe, maybe go to the championship, you know, the Thomas Chemet style, I'll call it like that. That he's, you know, going around in the championship and then somehow, you know, he went to Australia and, you know, finishing the career there. And now they're thinking about coming back to Israel to, you know, I don't want to say to finish their career, because Nir Bitton is only in, you know, 30. So that is, you know, the first step that I'm seeing. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Eli Dasa to come back. And Eli Dasa is playing his best football right now. And Maccabi is willing to give him a nice paycheck for it. Now, he wants to stay in Europe because he feels
And I don't blame him. I got to say.
Right, of course.
If I'm Eli Dasa, I could always come back to Israel later on.
Right.
I do not. And that's, I don't care what the amount of money Maccabi is throwing in my face right now. I am still at an age and I've improved so much. I'm 29 years old. I can come back to Maccabi Tel Aviv in 2 or 3 years from now. I'm still good to play in Europe. And you know, even when I was talking to the Athletic yesterday, I said, you know, Fulham, if they're looking for a right back, they could look at Eli Dasa. It'd be fun to see him. I mean, like, Eli Dasa has developed very, very good talent. Like, he could be playing on many, many, many different types of teams across the continent.
But now I'll put this on the line, and you know, you tell me about it. You know, Maccabi Tel Aviv is going to be playing in the Conference League. Yes, they need to go through the whole qualifying stage, but, you know, how far? Let's say if Eli Dasa does come and, you know, they bring in another foreigner defender, which they are
They can go into the late stages of the tournament. There's no question.
And that is something that, you know, and that's also the good part of the Conference League, because Maccabi Tel Aviv will be seeded first
or second. Still trying to go after me on the Conference League and of the Europa League.
Yes, because now if Maccabi Tel Aviv for some reason reaches, let's say, the quarterfinals, you know, if Eli Dasa is really there, Zahavi is there, Jovanovic is there, let's say Gloch is staying, you know, this team is
still
loaded.
There.
And Perica is still there as well, and he deserves congratulations for his wife gave birth this week.
Mazel tov
to his family. And
but listen, really, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying about Maccabi Tel Aviv. They bring Eli Dasa in. They're a top level European team. I get all that. If I'm Eli Dasa and I have a chance to play in England or in Germany or in Italy, I doubt Italy, but if I can have a chance to play in one of the top leagues.
The whole thing, he's not getting those offers for some reason.
So that's
it's not
question.
For some reason.
The reason is that he's 29. I do believe that there is a team that may take a chance on him. Now, is it worth for him to go to a middle table team in Spain? Is it worth it? Is it worth it for him
only
to go
if he's
do
starting?
That?
Only if he's the number one on that team. I wouldn't see him. Okay, and that's part of the Israeli problem. Is you know, I'd rather be on a good team but not play. And you know, Israelis lately have said, you know what? No, we're not going to do it. We need to start because the second you don't start for your team, you're in big trouble.
But let's be honest. Let's be honest for a second. Would you really want to go to a middle of the road team in the La Liga if you had a choice between La Liga or say the Premier League?
If I know I'm fighting, if I'm fighting for the 11, you know, if I'm 1A and 2A, let's say that there are two real like right backs that are really fighting for real for the starting 11, fine, I would take it. But if I'm coming as a backup, no way.
No, I agree. You know, no, I agree. If you're going to come in as a backup, no. He has to get a starting spot. What I'm saying is if you were Eli Dasa and you wanted to rank your options, okay, what is your top – what are your top five options? What is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, including Maccabi Tel Aviv in there? To me, the Premier League has to be number one, right? It doesn't matter what team in the – this is – you're getting a starting spot, okay? This is a guaranteed starting spot. Number one option has to be the Premier League, right?
You want to play League.
That's number one.
Premier League, Bundesliga.
Okay, agreed. That's what I agreed with you, number two.
And then I would probably put Serie A, and then I would put Spain.
And then Maccabi. Okay.
There were rumors about him. Being an option for PSV or being an option, you know, his name was out there for even, I think it was Ajax as well.
But the last thing you want is to do, would you go to
PSV? Would you go to PSV over Maccabi Tel Aviv?
I don't know. I'm not so sure about
that's
that.
That's it?
I wouldn't.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
If you got an offer, 16th team on the table, La Liga, 16th team on the table, Serie A over Maccabi Tel Aviv, what are you picking? Honestly.
Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Okay, I agree. But if you
look at Dor Perez, look at Chan Weizmann the year before. He has to go to the second league. Yes,
Hey, Dor Perez, for his year this year was a total disaster, and not so much because of him. It was because of the situation he was in. But for Sean Weissman, remember, he's still young. I mean, he can afford to go down a year with Real Valladolid. He can afford to do that at the age of 26, 25 at the time, right? He can afford to do that. Eli Dasa can't afford to do that.
He can't
afford to do it. All right. Nope. What else are we going to talk about here? Do we want to...
Maccabi Haifa.
Maccabi Haifa. So Maccabi Haifa are about to... they still haven't made their two big signings, but they're about to make their two big signings. I know that with Real Oviedo, where Oviedo was not too happy that there were offensive pictures of their player wearing a Maccabi Haifa uniform that was floating around. And, you know, it's kind of unprofessional on their part. Their uniforms are a little bit dizzy. I should say the Maccabi Tel Aviv uniforms actually are pretty nice, both home and away. The home kit for Haifa is okay. Not terrific. But talk about the players that Maccabi Haifa are about to sign. One is a Frenchman and the other from Spain.
Yeah, so the one that is coming from the second French league, and he's going to become the biggest signing, biggest transfer in Haifa history, which, you know, the Zahavi effect also has the effect on Maccabi Haifa, and we should bring that out as well, and we're going to see it in Beersheba as well, is that...
we should say his name, by the way. It's France Di Piero.
Frantesi Piero.
Yeah.
He's a striker for the Haiti national team. And you know, he's going to come in for 1.7 million euros, which is a huge amount. And it's a big signing for Maccabi Haifa because, you know, it wasn't his first destination. And he was one of the top scorers, if not the top one. And he was one of the top scorers in the second.
He was with Guingamp, if I pronounced it correctly. If I apologize if I didn't, but
yeah, and just, you know, a quick scouting report. He's super strong. He's physical. He has a background in basketball, by the way. He was in the States, and he got a two-way scholarship for basketball and soccer. so he has, you know, maybe he can also help the Maccabi Haifa basketball team. I don't know. if he would want to do that, like play some
on the side, ball. Yeah, he was playing with the Northeastern Huskies, then in college, and the Coastal Carolina team as well.
So, you know, he's a really strong player. He has a lot of presence in the box, and that is going to be super interesting with Dolev Khadija and Omer Atili, which they love to put it in there. And think about this for Maccabi Haifa right now. You have Piero, which is going to be, he's going to be the number one striker for them. You have Dean David, and you have Nikita Rukavica that came back, which he's pretty much coming in as the third. Like, look at last year. It was Dean David, it was Donio, and Ben Sar. Like, what a difference. And what a great offseason for Haifa on that end, you know, and really hitting on point over there on the striker position and really getting stronger there. Now, let's talk about, you know, the second player. He's a left back.
Pierre Cornu.
Yeah. And again, you know, this is a
Frenchman.
He seems like a good player. You know, and Haifa really needed to get better on the wings, on the defensive wings. And, you know, it seems like they really got it with the Sweden on the right, the Swedish player on the right, and now him on the left. You know, we know they have Panic and Sean Goldberg and Josh Cohen as well coming back. So really a really good season for Maccabi Haifa. And I don't want to say it out loud, but they're pretty much done with building the roster.
Yes.
We are on the 1st of July. Isn't that amazing? You know, we talked about the importance of really finishing and closing the roster as early as possible. They're pretty much there. Now, yes, Mohamed Abu Fani might leave to Celtic. We've heard that name all offseason long. But, you know, they have Mohamed Jaber, and they have Neta Levy, and they have Ali Mohamed, and they have players there to really fill in. And they, you know, an option is Eden Shamir that played for Maccabi Tel Aviv this year as a loanee from Sandor Diaz. So, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world, even though Mohamed Abu Fani is a great player. But, you know, it seems like they're really closing the team. And, you know, they have Olympiacos in a couple of weeks. And we're seeing them play some friendly games as well. They beat Netanya the other day 2-1. So really, Maccabi Haifa and Barak Bakal and Galal Belman deserves a lot of credit, as well as the GM over there. So, yeah, this team looks, the Israeli league, and especially up top, is going to be a lot of fun this year. A lot of fun, because, you know, you're seeing this amazing team that is just getting better on the Maccabi Haifa and the two-time champion right now, 2 years in a row, and on the other end, Maccabi Tel Aviv that are just, you know, back with Vladimirevich. By the way, they also lost a 1-0 game to in a practice game.
To a fourth division Holland. German team.
Yeah, so don't look into it too much if you saw it and you're like, oh no, what's going on with Maccabi Tel Aviv? They're not close to it's not that they're not close to finish the roster, but yeah, they need to bring a couple more players in. But you know, it's going to be exciting, you know, seeing Piero on one end. He's going to score bunches in the Israeli. You know, if Din David was that good in his first year, I'm excited to see this guy play, because really, he is a different – he's a game changer, especially here. And we'll see if he'll also be a game changer against Olympiacos in a couple of weeks in the qualifiers for the Champions League. But if not, you know, they want the Europa League. They don't want to get to the conference again. You know, that's pretty much the goal for Maccabi Haifa this year. And they have a good team to compete there. So it's exciting. Exciting times.
Let's shift
in
over.
Haifa.
Yeah, no, for sure. Let's shift over to Hapoel Tel Aviv and also Hapoel Be'er Sheva. Shai Elias moves from the Hapoel Tel Aviv Reds to the Southern Reds. What was the whole story there? Why did that move happen?
So it's interesting, and that's a big question.
It's a strange move. I think it caught some people off guard. For those that are watching Israeli soccer, you know, he's a young player. He's a talented player. You know, obviously they're getting paid for him, but still, it definitely an interesting move.
Yeah, and the reason why is a lot because of the under-19 team. You know, Eli Madmon, the captain of the under-19, is the player of Hapoel Be'er Sheva. He was playing the last season for Bnei Yehuda as a loanee, and you know, it seemed like he's ready to take a rotation role for Barda, and you know, be there behind Barrero, and there's David Keltens, and there's, you know, they have, and there's Ramzi Sfori in there. You know, there's a lot of players, and there's Martinez as well. You know, there's a lot of players in the midfield, and then you're like, okay, so he has a spot there, and he'll be fighting for the starting 11. And then they're putting Elias. Now, Elias and Madmon are pretty much playing the same position. So there was a lot of question marks, and that was before the game against France as well. So there's a lot of question marks of why. And again, Elias is a good player. You know, he's been one of the Porto Aviv's top players the past year and a half or so.
He picked up some poor cards for poor decisions that he made in the... In games, especially in the Derby last year, but putting that aside, that's not why they moved on from.
No. And he's a good, talented player. You know, he's still pretty. He's young. Yeah, you know, we don't call him a kid anymore because he's not under the kids category, being in the early 20s. But it's going to be interesting where he's going to fit in and how Barda is going to really build this team, because, you know, it looks like they are really loaded in the midfield. And it's weird to say, but the top teams, if it's Maccabi Tel Aviv, if it's Maccabi Haifa as well, and the Hapoel Be'er Sheva, they're really loaded in the midfield. So that is something to watch for, and something to watch for if Eli Madmon really will stay with Be'er Sheva. Now, going to Hapoel Tel Aviv, you know, Hapoel Tel Aviv is going through a real change. You know, Omer Buxenwein was appointed as the GM of the team after being pretty much the head of the youth department for the past couple of years. And, you know, we've seen huge success from the Hapoel Tel Aviv youth department. If it's, you know, Shai Elias, if it is now Doron Lino that played for the Israel national team as the left defensive back, and if it's now the incredible defenders with Lemkin and Oris Ralof, and who are pretty much doing an amazing job for the U19 starting there. And there's also Eliam Kopolonski that is doing an incredible job for the under-19. He was the captain of the Hapoel Tel Aviv youth team, and he'll pretty much take the spot of Shai Elias, really sitting on the same thing, really giving him the keys to play that. Now, we're seeing Hapoel Tel Aviv sell players. They sold Jokanovic earlier this year, this offseason. They sold now Elias. They sold yesterday Shai Eisen, another midfield player, which was, had a lot of talent and showed a lot, not this year, but the year before. And, mm-hmm. His name was also put out there for English Premier League team that wanted him back in the day. And Hapoel Tel Aviv said, no, we think his value is much more. So they're selling a lot of players. They need money. You know, we've seen this team be short on cash with mm-hmm. their owners over there. So that's interesting. But on the other hand, we're seeing them also starting to make moves and bringing interesting players in. Hapoel Tel Aviv, who finished fourth last year, they're going through a new change under Omer Buxtehude and Kobi Refua. And it's going to be fun to watch because we're going to see some kids play, and they might be, might take them high again towards that spot, and maybe finally beating Maccabi Tel Aviv in the derby after 8 years. Something we should note and should take a look at is Eliam Oblonsky, that he has an American passport. He was born in Hawaii. His family is a well-known surfers family. Yeah, family mm-hmm. here in Israel. So he's getting interest and looked at from the MLS. MLS offers doesn't come every day for Israeli players. So, and I'm sure he would love to go there. And there's something with his contract. He has a clause, a transfer clause that, if the MLS team or whichever team wants to really pay it out, they can. And Hapoel Tel Aviv are trying to figure out what's the deal over there, because they can't lose him after, selling Eisen and Shai Elias. So it's going to be interesting to see if Eliam will stay in Hapoel Tel Aviv, because they really have an important role for him going into the next season.
No, for sure.
And one last thing. Sorry, Dolan Naidoo. We didn't talk about him enough. They're looking to sell him as well. He's
fire
a player
sale.
That, fire sale. Sale. It's really a fire sale
let's,
over there. But
let's spend a minute or so before we head into the basketball about Manor Solomon. Manor Solomon. There have been rumors that he's going to sign with Fulham. It hasn't happened yet. This week, there's been these new rumors that have been coming all over the place that he's going to head to Nice, that Nice is making a big bid for him. For some reason, the deal has not been consummated between Fulham and Shakhtar Donetsk. Probably, we believe, it has to be something to do with Shakhtar's status because of the conflict between Russia and the Ukraine. There are all kinds of rules and regulations on these types of transfers and monetary issues, which is way beyond my my pay grade to get into. But I do know that bottom line is, if he's going to move to Fulham, it's got to happen ASAP. Mm-hmm. I mean, Fulham ain't going to be waiting for him much longer. And it's really not the player's fault at this point, but it has to obviously be something with the clubs and how that is going on, Roy Shalom.
So, yeah, it's getting really interesting what's happening with Manor Solomon. And, we want to see him just start a new journey. That's pretty much what we want to see, and see the saga really finish.
Yeah, and it's been a saga. There, so. It's been a saga here. I mean, I feel bad for him. I mean, I really do. He's such a good kid. Let him play soccer. Yeah.
Exactly, and he's good at it. So just let him play.
All right, so let's shift over now. Let's shift gears over to the basketball side of the show. And of course, the Israel national team. Yes, the Israel national team playing in World Cup qualifying. They headed to Poland in a game that on paper should have been a very winnable game, despite, of course, the Polish squad adding a few players that didn't play the last time. They faced one another in AJ Slaughter, Mateusz Ponitka, and then Michal Sokolowski. Unfortunately for Israel, they came out really flat, and we can use the word balagan. And they ended up falling in overtime, 90-85. They are now 2-3 in their group. They still need one more win to move into the next round of World Cup qualifying. And for those that, just to give you a quick education on how it works, is that this is the first round of qualifying. A group of four, the top three teams move into another group, but their records carry over. So Germany, for example, is number one in the group. They've already moved over to the next group. Slovenia moved in from a different group. Croatia has moved in also from another group. So again, the problem here is that the records go along with the team. So at best right now, Israel has to win their next game, or then they basically they have to see what happens with all the other with the other result in the other game to see if they make it through, which would not, and there's point differential and all that stuff. But at best, they're going into the second round with a 3-3 record, which is really not good. If you look at it, this is a group that they should have really done a lot better against, against Poland, who don't have an NBA player and didn't have one in this game as well, against Estonia, who was far away from having an NBA player. Henry Vesser is the only potential, and he wasn't even dressed for Estonia's game against Germany. Germany had their NBA players in this round, and when we played them twice in February, home and home, they did not have the likes of Dennis Schroeder and Isaac Bonga playing for them, and they ripped apart Estonia yesterday, and Israel lost both of those games to Gordon Herbert's team, and that was really a shame because they were both winnable games, and somehow they lose these games that have all been winnable. This game should have, they came out terribly. They took them 7 minutes to finally score a field goal. They were playing chase the whole game. And then finally they take the lead by like 6 points really, really late. And it looks like they're going to hold on, but they don't foul with about 15, 20 seconds left, or maybe it was even less than that. And they ended up giving Poland the chance to tie up the game. And they did exactly that with like 2.7 seconds left. With a corner three ball, they should have fouled. They could have fouled. Guy Gudas was really upset, and then that went to overtime. And Israel started off well, but ended up folding like a cheap suit further on. Now, the arena apparently had no air conditioning. Guy Gudas made sure everybody understood that they sweated like pigs. Both sides did, and that it was like a sauna. And that's what he said in all of his post-game comments. Igor Milicic, who has been rumored to become did Katash's assistant at Maccabi Tel Aviv, in the English comments, he did not complain about the heat. At least I heard that, so that wasn't coming from him. I didn't expect him to complain about it after he wins also. And it wasn't, even if they would have lost, I don't think he would have complained because it's ultimately their arena, but that can't be an excuse. I understand Guy Gudas saying, yes, it's the year 2020. I get all that. But at the end of the day, you can't keep using that as an excuse that this arena is hot, that when Gur Sheliff is there and he's like laughing about the amount of heat and how, at the end of the day, Israel didn't take care of business on the court. And that's what they had to do. I don't care how hot it is. Tamir Blatt had a pitiful game yesterday. He was awful. He admitted to being awful. 8 turnovers. I mean, he was just terrible. The starting five that Guy Gudas put out was really strange. When you have Tamir Blatt and Bar Timor, you had Tomer Ginat, Rafi Menko, and Roman Sorkin. I'm not sure where he came up with that starting five. It was kind of odd not to see Idan Zalmanson in that starting five. Kind of odd not to see Nimrod Levy, who has arguably been your best player over the course of the first two windows. Now, there had been a talk about this being a very mental window. That was the term he used before they even started the play, even when they first came into camp. And it's true. A lot of these players are trying to figure out where they're going to play. Some of them have contracts. Some of them don't. Some of them may be sold. Nimrod Levy is in the case where it's rumored that he is going to sign with Hapoel Holon. He has a contract with Galil Elyon. A lot of us thought he would stay there, but it looks now he's going to go and replace Rafi Menko. They're going to open up the wallet. Yovel Zussman didn't start in the game. Madar didn't start in the game. You have Guy Pinini at 38 years old playing 24 minutes in this game. And Bartimore only plays 4 minutes. Then your captain, who you list and register for the game, doesn't play a second. Why are you listing him when you have a healthy Yiftach Ziv, unless something happened that I don't know about? But why are you not, if you can't play or you're not going to play Gal Mekel, why are you not going to play Yiftach Ziv, who actually played extremely well in the exhibition game that they had last week against the under 20 team? There's a lot of questions over here. I know a lot of people aren't going to put the blame on Guy Gudis, but the sports rabbi is. Guy Gudis did a miserable job managing this game from top to bottom. He just did a horrible job. And I love Guy, but the fact is that he started the game off really poorly with his decisions. Again, there may be reasons why Gal Mekel didn't play. There may be reasons why he didn't want to register Yiftach Ziv or Oseblazer. I get all that. But to me, Guy Pinini, who is one of your weaker defensive players, is out there for, you know, really money time. I know that he had 5 rebounds and 6 assists, and I know he's another coach on the court, but you're expecting way too much. And on top of that, Nimrod Levy and Yovel Zussman both fouled out. You can't put your players in a position, two of your important players, to both foul out early on in the fourth quarter. It can't be. Those are poor, poor decisions. Yovel Zussman, 10.6 rebounds, 7 assists. That can't happen. Nimrod Levy, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Can't happen that those guys foul out so early in the game. Cannot happen. Can't happen. Guy Gudis did a miserable job managing this game, Roy Shalom.
I gave you the 4.
I know.
It was amazing. It was amazing. Like, I don't need to add anything about it. Just super disappointing, you know. Just, you know, before the games against Germany, we were like, can we really, really get to the World Cup? And now, just understanding the whole situation, it bums, you know.
Yeah, I don't see it. I mean, you went 2-0 in your opening games against Poland and Estonia. I know you had to come back after, you know, giving up a big lead to the Poland, but you come back, you're in that game, you win those two games, and you're really flying high. And then all of a sudden, there were mental mistakes against Poland. Things didn't work out against Germany, and there were plenty of mental mistakes against Poland also. But those, to me, the two key games there were the Germany games. You got to, worst case, split those games. They were both winnable games. You had to, worst case, split them. Split those games.
I want to bring up something, and you know, I'm going to ask you this, and it's a tough question, you know. And you know, we're seeing Guy Gudis as the coach for what is it? This was his 5th game, right? Mm-hmm. Being the head coach, and you know, Oded Kadosh had a great tenure as the head coach of Israel, but since then, since Guy Gudis has taken it, you know, I haven't been impressed with the national team under him. I don't want to really, you know, and it's disappointing in a way. And I think Guy Gudis is a good coach. I won't say he won't. He also won the Israeli League and really did an incredible job in Holon. But right now with the national team, so far, the start of his, you know, job here with being the head coach, I haven't been impressed and even disappointed.
Yeah, he's not done a good job here. I mean, the players needed to know to make a foul there at the end of the game. He was very upset about it. But the game wasn't won or lost on that last play, right?
No, of course not.
It wasn't won or lost on that last play, but it was just
But it's the way they've been playing.
Playing well. And you know what? They also spoke in the post-game comments, and I'll have all this up a little bit later in the day. They spoke about how, you know, we played under pressure and we didn't play team basketball. They took 47 three-pointers. 47 three-pointers. 47 three-pointers. Now, they had 29 assists, right? They moved the ball. You can't say that they didn't move the ball well. You never felt that they deserved to win this game. If they were going to win it near the end, it was really they were going to steal the game. Poland played much better. I mean, now also, this is also an issue here, the free throw differential. Now, you know, it can't be that Ponitka has 16 free throws and Israel has a total of 13. Now, I'm not saying that the referees were favoring one team or another over here, but something's not right.
It's a part of throwing, 43, shots from deep. You're not driving and trying to get fouled.
Right. Well, that's the problem. And I think that's also part of the issue. But again, they had opportunities. Like Tomer Ginnat had the ball. He got a great pass inside. He could have gone by his player, and he ends up throwing it out for another three-pointer. I'm like, what are you doing? Why don't you drive and get fouled? Like Yamadar did near the end of the game. He drove and he got fouled. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. Like, drive to the basket and get fouled. What are these guys afraid of making contact here? They don't want to get hurt. Some of the players, maybe because of the contract situations. I mean, I don't know. I'm not blaming anybody.
We talked about it last week that, this might be an issue, that. Gudas even spoke about the mental side of things, and it seems like that, he was talking because he was seeing something that he didn't like.
Right, but you see, the only players here, let's be honest right now, that have issues, contractual issues, is John DiBartolomeo, where he doesn't know if Maccabi's going to take him back. Okay, Sorkin is Maccabi. Tamir Blatt is an Alba. Gal Meckel didn't play, and he's a player that is looking for a contract, obviously. He said he could wait out, and he's done that before, and he clearly will. Guy Panini is at Maccabi. Yamadar is at Partizan. Rafi Menko signed with Maccabi. Idan Zalmanson's at Hapoel Tel Aviv. So is Bar Timor. So is Tomer Ginnat. And Yovel Zussman's at Alba Berlin. So really the only two players here, and then there's Nimrod Levy, who is still, there's obviously something up over there potentially. So you're looking at only two players here that actually played in the game that had a mental issue. Now, I know some of the other players, they only had their contract settled this week. So there was definitely a problem throughout the weekend. He said it, he saw it. It was a thoroughly, thoroughly disappointing game. And I got to tell you this, they have the Eurobasket coming up. They're in a group that they should easily, easily get through to the next stage, okay? Even with Serbia, who's going to have Nikola Jokic, okay? Even with Serbia, Israel should be the second best team in that group. They're not that good. The group is not a very good group.
So that's the question. That's the question I was going to ask you. If Odin was still the coach, do you see this team as 5-0 right now?
Yes.
Yes. That's what I also feel like.
I see them at 5-0. Now I know that there's some players coming in and some players going out. I see the team as being 5-0, or at worst case 4-1. Okay, I'll give Germany one of the games. Okay, so at worst case 4-1. So then you're going into, and then you have your last game at home against Estonia, which is a gimme game, right? It should be a gimme game. Then you're playing with no pressure. No, but I'm saying even if you're at 4-1, right, going to the last game,
for sure,
you're going to finish 5. You don't have any pressure. You go into the next round of 5-1. You are in great prime position to make it into the World Cup. And now you're just not. It's to me, it's just very, 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 very frustrating to see what's going on here.
The Eurobasket is the thing that I'm really worried about, because, I'm looking at this team and most of the team is pretty much here and will be the same squad for the Eurobasket. But, if this is what we're going to see, and we've been waiting for this Eurobasket a long time, it's we've seen some U21 wins, European champions, multiple times, and it seems like this generation is a good, talented generation, and there's something really to work with. And I'm worried now going into leave the World Cup, that I really thought we had a chance of really getting there before it all started. But now looking at this Eurobasket, and I was expecting some amazing things.
Yeah, I mean,
look towards it. I'm worried.
I'm really worried too. You have Serbia, Czech Republic, who's playing at home, Poland, who they've proven already that they had trouble with. Now, I know they're going to have Denny Avdija on the next you know, for the tournament. But still, Finland, who right now is 4-1 right now, is probably going to finish their at the top of their group at 5-1, by the way. They're probably going to finish 5-1 and go into the next round. And we're going to have to be in that group with them, okay? So you know, you're looking at a team that's 5-1. You have a team that Slovenia is going to be 4-2, and Germany's going to be 4-2 or 5-1, okay? So you're going into a situation where you're coming in at 3-3. You have almost no chance. You're not going to beat Slovenia in the qualifiers to make it to the World Cup. The other teams, by the way, you have Finland, and then you have the Netherlands. Okay, so the Netherlands is a beatable team. But I looked at the beginning here that Israel would be the you know the number two team behind Serbia. And Serbia was awful yesterday, by the way. They played terrible. They lost. They were horrific. Now, they didn't have Jokic, but they had Bjelica. They had other NBA players playing with them, and they were terrible. But I don't read much into these games there. But now I'm concerned. I read much into Israel's game, though. I am very worried about that Eurobasket group. I don't know if they're getting out of it. Like, after watching them play, and nothing's going to convince me if they destroy Estonia on Sunday that they're in good shape. I'm very concerned, very concerned. First, we're on here with the sports rabbi, Josh Halligman, Roy Schell. I'm talking Israeli hoops. Let's shift over to Maccabi Tel Aviv. Can we say Maccabi Tel Aviv has been pulling every box of cereal off the shelf, every sugar cereal that they see, if it's Cocoa Pebbles, if it's Flintstones cereal, you know, the Flintstone cereal, if it's this chocolate cereal and that chocolate cereal, every sugar cereal they've been pulling off the shelf this week. How many players
hasn't
can you name?
Hasn't this been fun?
It has been
hasn't
fun.
Hasn't it been fun? And they've done a good job. We should give credit for them to really every single day the past week they had a signing.
Yeah. So that's just, can you remember all the signings, Roy Shalom? How many of them can you name?
By day?
No, not by day. No.
Okay.
I'm not gonna be
no, because there was also like a thing by day that Yom Aleph, the first day was Austin, was Holland, right? Like, and then
no, Bonzi Cole. Well, Bonzi Colson was I think the first sign.
No, Bonzi was on I think on
last
Monday,
week. No, it was like last week.
Okay,
just go last through the week. Players. Okay. Just name the players. Bonzi Colson, Austin Holland. Who else signed?
Guy Pliny.
Okay.
Rafi Manko.
Okay.
Wade Baldwin. Right. Lorenzo Brown.
Right.
You forgot. You know, there was just another one today. Just
Darren Hilliard was also signed, and then Josh Nemo signed.
Oh, Darren Hilliard. Right.
And the first signing was Alex Poitras. So they are doing bang up job here. Bringing in players, but there are a lot of ifs. There are a lot of ifs on this roster right now. A lot of ifs. And where are the ifs? Can Bonzi Colson raise his level to a EuroLeague level? Now, it looks like he can because we've seen him do that in every, in every team and every league that he's played in. The Sports Rabbi has an interview with him coming out a little bit later as well. Had an exclusive interview with Bonzi Colson and his thoughts about taking on this EuroLeague challenge. That's number one. Alex Poitras, can he take a step up and really play the leading center role? Can Darren Hilliard come back from a season that he played a third of the games in? That's a big issue. Can Austin Hollins be that glue guy for this team? That's questionable there. Lorenzo Brown, can he play as well as he did with Kazan last year and was arguably the best point guard? Hey, remember, last year was a year that was not a normal year for Lorenzo Brown. He has not played close to the level that he played with Kazan. So that's concerning. Wade Baldwin, that's a huge if. You know, can he – we know that he's had, some issues. If it's teammates, there were some issues even this season at Baskonia. Or if it's, here and there. And, can he make sure to, toe the party line and – not have any issues. And we saw also with Bayern, Bayern Munich, he had a lot of fouls in the final series. I think 12, this is a couple of years ago, 12 technical fouls. I mean, that's a lot of fouls, a lot of technical fouls. Can Oded Katash, who also, that's the other question, can Oded Katash make good on his EuroLeague coaching career that he hasn't, that really he had a cup of coffee with Panathinaikos a couple of years ago. And then before that was 2007-08, or I guess, with Maccabi Tel Aviv. It's been a long time. There's a lot of big question marks. Right now, the team has, I believe, 7 foreigners. They still want one, which I thought originally they would only sign 7 foreigners. And because they've been talking about keeping the team playing as one unit, not as two separate teams. The minute you sign an 8th foreigner, you're kind of separating the team into two. It means you have to bench 3 guys per Israeli league game. So I don't know what they were planning. You know, TJ Leaf had been rumored that he's going to come, and you know that would have been another big if. And as usual, the TJ Leaf rumors start dying down, and he's not going to come. He's looking at the NBA in China, so forth and so on. That's always, there always seems to come up and pop up in the conversation. Will they keep John DiBartolomeo and or Yevtatsev? Is Jake Cohen going to remain with the team? That's still an open question that's out there as well. Keenan Evans, it looks like he's done. That's two years in a row that you've invested in a young point guard and you've jettisoned him out the door. If it was Chris Jones, who ended up having a superb season and then up signing with Valencia now in Asvel, he had a great season last year. And it's Keenan Evans is a wanted man already. The talk is that he's going to go to Žalgiris. It's a real pity.
He's going
to
be good.
And he's a top-line defender. Now, who are, by the way, who are the defenders on this Maccabi team? Now, I get it. I understand he got players here that can play the pick and roll really well. He got players that can play above the rim. He got players that understand how to set screens for three-point shots. He has guys that can knock down three-point shots. I know that people have been critical a little bit about Baldwin and Brown, that they're more mid-range jump shooters. Yeah, but they can hit the three. Bonzi Colson hit a big three-pointer against the Bulls Jerusalem last year with Karshiaka. So he can also hit a three-pointer. He's going to be undersized. If he plays the four, he's going to be an undersized four, similar to I like David Blue. I mean, I look at him as David Blue. Now,
yeah,
and I love that. I love that. I think that's really good, and that's cool. I look at him as being David Blue 2.0, which is a player that, again, David Blatt loved, right? So there's reasons behind all these things. Wade Baldwin, David Blatt gave him his first chance in Europe. So there's a relationship there. I think David Blatt has been, very good at this angle. But here's another issue. Just to bring up, both of the Maccabi centers right now are the same player. They're like literally the same player. There's no different look at the center position unless you play Sorokin at center for some minutes. Josh Nebo and Alex Poitras are very similar athletic centers that both play above the rim. Both guys that Oded Tatash will get a lot out of. We just got word that Sergio Rodriguez, by the way, is leaving Milan. So, who's going to be that next player that Maccabi's going to bring in? I think bringing in 8 foreigners is a mistake. They also still have, by the way, Cameron Taylor under contract and Max Heidegger's under contract. So like, what are they going to do with all the – I don't see Cam Taylor coming back, right? Like he's
No, of course not.
Kyrie Thomas ain't going to be back either. They haven't – James Nunnally's not going to be back. We already know for sure Derek Williams won't be back. They bid him a duo list past week as well. Roby Shalom
and Jalen Reynolds as well.
He's under contract, but he's also gone. They're going to go. I mean, I spoke a lot here. I think there's a lot of things here to unpack with Maccabi Tel Aviv, but like these guys are going to have to really mold together as a team. I don't know. I mean, like Wade Baldwin and Lorenzo Brown, they both need the ball in their hands. They both like to have the ball in their paws. I mean, like there's only one ball and you can't split it into two.
So I'll give you my take. First of all, and I've said it all along that this team reminds me a lot of 2014. And as you brought in Colson as pretty much Blue, I can see, Menko being Pini, and, there's just different ways that, I see this team. And back then they didn't go on one star, and it feels like they're pretty much doing the same here now. You're saying, it has to be a team effort for them to win. But, looking at this team compared to the last couple of seasons of Maccabi's rosters, I like this roster more than those teams. Now, I've There's a lot of ifs, and there's always going to be ifs. Okay, I wanna put it out there like that. You see a good, there's a good core of good players with good mentality, that are known as good team players. And yes, there's the whole Wade Baldwin, but but think about it. When did you have last time a backcourt of
Wade Baldwin and Lorenzo Brown?
And what have we said over the past, I don't know how many years now, about Maccabi Tel Aviv's biggest problem? It's been, there was no one to really play the point. And yes, you have the sharpshooter of Scotty, but you were always missing that other element. And it feels like, yes, there's only one ball, and I agree on that, but it feels like you can attack this team in different ways. You can attack it, as you said, pick and roll, and then you can go, if it's a mid-range of Baldwin, Brown, or you bring it up top to Poitras and Nebo. Now, Nebo and Poitras, aren't exactly the same. They're close, but
They're not exactly the same.
Yeah, can be,
but
more.
But they're very close. Very, very close.
Yeah, and think about it. This is a team that will jump on rebounds, really, like offensive boards. It's going, you can feel it, that with Nebo, with Tris, will really attack the boards. Now, you're talking about now the number four. Who's it really going to be now? Now, if TJ Leaf is not coming, and we knew that, if he will be that guy, he would have also taken a big chunk of money as well.
Yeah.
We know that he wants that. So who are they going to bring to that for position?
They're going to bring a foreigner, and it's going to be somebody that can shoot the three. That's what it's going to be, again, TJ Leaf would have, even if they would have signed TJ Leaf, they would have still gone out to get another foreign player, by the way.
Someone lower on the market than a higher salary type
hey,
guy.
Listen,
now,
I have the perfect guy. I have the perfect guy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Angelo Calloiaro.
Oh, yeah, right. I love Angelo, really, but no. Just...
You ready?
You ready for the perfect guy 2.0?
Jake Cohn?
No. Dragon Bender?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. By the way, he was a disaster last night for Croatia. It's not happening.
So, yeah, and, that's about it. But I think he could, you're looking for that shooter from deep that can really stretch the court. I think he could have been that perfect option. Of course, if you have TJ and you're looking for someone with short contract, someone that you can really maybe take advantage for 1 year. Hopefully you do good and you'll get a bigger contract after it. I think that could have been Bender. Now that their TJ was pretty much out, you have a bigger chunk for a number four. I don't know who they're going to bring, but that it's going to be an interesting name for sure. And I don't think they even really had guy yet. So
yeah, but, otherwise it would have been leaked like every other song,
right? We've known these signings for a week now, all of them pretty much. So, and we've been waiting day by day for the official signing. But I'll say this: you can go on the mid-range, you can go up top for Nebo and Poitras. You can go to the corners, okay, for corner threes or whatever. If it's Menko, that might even start for Maccabi Tel Aviv as the number three, game in and game out. It's good that they have. If you need to go one-on-one, you also have, the Baldwin and Brown that can really, get points if you really need it on the isolation side of things. So there's more options for me that feel real than what it was before with Maccabi Tel Aviv. And And that's exciting. You know, now we'll have to see what's going to happen with the Israelis, which is a big deal. And you feel it. You know, this team is having a really hard time with bringing in the right Israelis because they would have loved to have Tamir Blatt. They probably would have loved to have Yovel Zussman. Now, Yovel Zussman should have had Hollins' place. And then you're like, and then you can could have brought someone else. Because I feel like in they are, in a way, similar players. Not exactly, I'll put it like that. But in a way, they're similar. And Yovel Zussman could have been that guy. Tamir Blatt, you know, you could have been that guy. Yamadar, they would have loved to have him in as well. But they can't. So now they need to go for, what is it, already the third option in the point. And it's Yiftach Ziv, who didn't even start yesterday for
It wasn't on the roster. Israel. What about starting?
It wasn't on the roster, not start. It wasn't on the roster. And you know, you're looking again, and you would have brought Tomer Ginat. Tomer Ginat said no, so you're going to your second option, which is TJ Leaf, which I'm not sure he was the second option, but he was just much more, you know, the pricey than Tomer Ginat, and it would have changed the way you look at this roster. But in a way, maybe, you know, a player like Hollins, you know, knowing that you're not getting TJ Leaf, maybe you could have brought someone that is more proven than him, you know, and I'm not going to say he's not proven. He's a good enough player. He's a EuroLeague player. I want to put it out there. People are saying, you know, why did they bring him? And they needed that glue guy, and he seems to be that glue guy. But for me, Yovel Zussman could have been that guy as an Israeli, right? Mm-hmm. So the Israelis here are really changing it, because if the world was perfect for Oded Katash, you would have seen Tamir Blatt and Yovel Zussman, or Tamir Blatt or Yamadar on this team with Yovel Zussman.
You want me to and say then something it else? Would have, I want to. You know, we talked about the young. I'm not going to beat this point, but we talked about the young Israeli soccer players not getting a chance. How about the young Israeli basketball players that don't get a chance, right? I mean, there are so many young players. Whatever, it's a big problem. It's a big problem. The Tamir Blatt, Yovel Zussman, these guys should be playing for
Maccabi. And don't be surprised if Oded, you know, if Oded does stay and finish the year good enough and stays, and he has a chance to bring them next year, he's gonna be jumping on them, jumping on these two, you know, and really because this is, I feel, the difference between this team being, I don't want to say it like that, but really being a complete team, like a real complete team, the dream that Oded would have had, like as a team, then now he's a bit like going around it. And it feels like a bit he's been going around and not getting exactly the players he wants. And that's tough when you have pretty much a one-year deal on your contract, when the deal is, it's a two-year deal, but a one-year deal, and you have to get the Israeli championship, which is not going to be easy with Holon, and it's not going to be easy with Jerusalem. We'll have to see what they do there, but and Apollo Tel Aviv as well, you know, it's not going to be an easy season. It's going to be much, much harder for Maccabi Tel Aviv, especially in the Israeli league, and it's going to be interesting what's going to happen, because all the Israelis right now, Jay Cohen is probably going to say, Yiftach is probably going to say, John, we're not sure if it's going to be him or Max Heidegger. But that's not the guys he really wanted, and that's not the start you really want.
Well, on the other side, I don't know. I'll say this. I don't know if Oded could have gotten anything better than what he got. I think that he had a lot of say in this roster construction.
Oh, for sure.
He had a lot of say here. I think he got whatever he wanted, that they could get, they got him. And I think that was
really
blunt. I think that Nikolai was not so involved in this roster construction this time around. I think that David Blatt played really center, you know, center fiddle on this.
You feel Oded and David Blatt.
You could feel, there's no question.
The fingerprints all over it.
I really think that Maccabi did the best that they could with the budget that they had. I think freeing up the Scotty Wilbekin money and getting paid off handsomely for letting him go is also big. You know, big
and they also have a full, and they also have a full the full amount of money from the country as well, and that's also been something due to COVID that they got only 80%.
So, you know, Oded cannot have any complaints afterwards. I mean, I think that Maccabi, you know, I think that they made a huge run at TJ Leaf. I do believe they really, really, really wanted to bring him in. And they probably tried everything. And they were going to probably pay him big, big money. And then again, he just doesn't want to be here. That's clear. He doesn't want to be here for whatever reason. He does not want to come to Israel and play for Maccabi Tel Aviv. Okay, fine.
Yo, TJ, if you're listening to this, just give us the reason.
Yeah.
Like, really, it, you know, they've been looking at you for years now. Just give us
the reason. And you're Israeli. Like, we always hear, always going to play for the Israel national team, always going to come to Maccabi. He's not, you know, it's not going to happen. It's something, there's something there that's just, you know, he just doesn't want to come. Okay, that's fine. That's his right. That's his right. That's his right. That's fine. Maccabi Tel Aviv, again, my big concern with this roster construction is I want to see how these guys are going to get together as a team. I'm a little bit concerned about the center position and the four position. I'm concerned that they're going to be two separate teams, which is something that Oded did not want to have. Those are concerns that I have, and I think the legitimate concerns. Wade Baldwin, we understand the history there. I think he'll be fine. I'm not worried. Yeah, I think that Oded's a player's coach. I know for a fact that Maccabi Tel Aviv did their homework in speaking to former coaches of Wade Baldwin. I know that for a fact. So I think that they were at a comfort level. And if they're going to be at a comfort level, then fine. You know, they did their due diligence. Unlike their due diligence for some other players, specifically one that will not be named in this podcast, where two players that previous coaches were not contacted, and both of those coaches were in Israel. So we know that Maccabi Tel Aviv did their due diligence on Wade Baldwin. They say he's good to go. The players want to play with him. He's good to go. That's good enough for that should be good enough for the Maccabi fan and good enough.
I think he's going to be the one alpha of this team in the end of the day. You know, so by the end of the year, he'll be he's not Scotty, okay? We'll put it like that. But he'll be the face more than, I think, let's say, Lorenzo.
Yes. Others. Yeah, I think so too.
He's the Tyrese Rice.
Year. Yeah, and I think that plays to his ability, and I think it plays to his personality. So we'll see. Roe Shalom, we have a minute left. Where can people reach out to you?
So you can reach out at Arshalom on Twitter or wherever you see this content.
All right, me at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news in Israeli sports. We bring it to you in both languages. This is a lot of fun. It was a long show. We got to a lot of different topics. Want to wish the Israel under-19 national team the best of luck going into the final tonight against England. El Israel and a Shabbat Shalom from the land of Israel.